And he still has plenty of power. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
Well, we thank you for being here this evening at Liberty Baptist Church. What a blessing to be here. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for tonight. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that you give us, Lord, to meet here, that we might sing and hear the preaching of your word, and, Lord, enjoy the fellowship with one another. We ask that tonight might be a special blessing for each and every one of us, that everything be done to your honor, your glory. And, Lord, we'll thank you for it. In your precious name we ask it. Amen.
All righty, you can be seated. We're going to sing "This World Is Not My Home." I'm just passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know, I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Well, what a blessing to be here at Liberty Baptist Church this evening. I just have a few announcements. We've got a treat this evening. It'll be a blessing to be able to hear in just a few minutes. Brother Hoffmeister will be talking about his him and his family, their work over there in Trinidad. And we're looking forward to hearing him preach this evening, which means I'm not going to be preaching, but he will. So that'll be a blessing. But we want to remember to continue to pray for those that are struggling in their health and those that are not with us this evening. Pray for Brother Nichols and him and his wife, their health. I ask a special prayer for my wife. She's traveling, not this moment, but she went up to Mesquite just to see David. No emergency or anything, just moms could do that sometimes, I guess. Just went to so that the Lord would give her a safe trip, her and my mother-in-law. And you want to continue to pray for the services. Be faithful. Soul winning tomorrow night, 6:45. Soul winning Saturday morning and bus visitation at 9:30 to be a part of all those things. As well as pray toward that the Lord continue to bring visitors, people saved, and the Lord to keep us healthy. And also pray for our country at this time. And my heart's broken. I'm grieving a little bit about what's going on. And I just pray that that the Lord would truly work in a marvelous way, and that we would be happy on the other side. Thank the Lord for what He's done and give Him the honor and glory. Thank you for being here tonight at Liberty Baptist Church.
All right, let's all stand. This will be our offertory song. We'll be singing Holy, Holy, Holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore Thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubims and seraphim falling down before Thee, Wentworth and Artan evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide Thee, through the eye of sinful man, Thy glory may not see. Holy, Thou art holy, there is none beside Thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all Thy works shall praise Thy name in earth and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Amen. Let's pray for the offering. Lord Jesus, thank you for tonight. Thank you for all many blessings, and please bless this offering. Help to meet the needs of our church. In your precious name, amen.
Grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. The sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, and grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. And grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? And grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Amen. All right, what a blessing, what a privilege it is. We've got Brother Hoffmeister. Why don't you come on up, brother? He's going to tell us a little bit about what the Lord's doing with him and his family there in Trinidad. And it's a privilege. We got him here tonight to hear what the Lord has to deal with us about. And I'm excited to see, because he's no slacker. They're working over there seeing God do some wonderful things. He's got a presentation for us, and he's going to preach.
Thank you,
preacher. Amen, brother.
Preach. All right, take your Bibles, if you would, quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's so good to be back at Liberty Baptist Church. It has been 15 years since I've seen your smiling faces and charmless personalities. I'll just tell you what, it's good to be saved. We got locked out of our country, and I can't wait to get back in. And I'll tell you, Brother Roy, thank you. Thank you for your kindness. Let me take your spot tonight for just a few minutes. I just want to say thank you, church. You guys have stood behind what God has done in the country of Trinidad and Tobago for 20 years. For a missionary to be committed, it only takes place because people in their local church are committed.
That's right.
Many times the best thing you can do for missions is be faithful right here in your church. Committed, being a backbone. Because we're in a spiritual battle, and our enemy is invisible except for those that are getting elected. But you understand, Paul was dealing with something here in this portion of Scripture. And he says in chapter 16, in verse number 9, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me." Country of Trinidad is just south of Dominica. Thank you, sister, for being here. I'll tell you, I feel like I'm with family. I'm not used to hanging around white people. And I will tell you, Trinidad is 40% Indian from the country of India. And in my country, there is no political correctness. So I'm not sure how to move properly inside of America, so pray for me. But it's 39% from the continent of Africa. And then we're mixed up with Venezuelan. And I'll tell you what, they speak a broken dialect of English. It's very open. We speak in about 21 different high schools. We have 3 to 5 classes. We speak to 3,000 to 5,000 students a week, just in public schools alone. On a weekly basis, we have soul winners at hospitals. We have public ministry on the streets. We visit 400 to 500 homes every week just giving out the gospel. We've passed out about 1.5 million pieces of literature, gospel tracts. And here's what I'm trying to say. There's opportunity to sow the seed of the Word of God. Now, let me remind you, the Word of God is never returned void. And if you want to harvest, you got to sow the seed. Don't blame the harvest on God if we're the ones sowing the seed. And there's a great door open. And Paul reminded the church of Corinth about that, but that's not the final point he's trying to make. He says, and there are many adversaries. Every single week, you're doing spiritual battle. 35% of our country is Hindu from India. Hindus worship over 20 million gods. 12% of our population is Muslim. We have the highest per capita of ISIS fighters that were in Syria out of our country. We also have a lot of spiritual Baptists, Shango Baptists, and Orisha Baptists. If you go anywhere else, you say the name Baptist, they think one thing. In our country, you say the name Baptist, they think you're going to do obeah or witchcraft against you. When the Africans came as slaves in the 1500s, they practiced what was called African animism. If you go to Haiti, they call it voodoo. If you come to America, they call it yoga. Every shape of or exercise in yoga is the shape of a Hindu god. That's where it came from. I don't know how we got off on that, but my point is, they were outlawed because of their type of worship, so they camouflaged it with Catholic practices. And then because they were outcast from society, as John the Baptist was, they took the name Baptist from him. So now if you want witchcraft done against someone, you call a Baptist priest. So anyway, our country is very unique. There's many adversaries. 100 feet out my back door is a Hindu temple. 300 meters to the left is another Hindu temple. 400 meters to the right is a Kali temple. The goddess Kali requires a blood sacrifice. Completely satanic. And every deity that they worship is a demon represented in their idols. And there's many adversaries. Since I've known Trinidad, there's been 31 sets of missionaries come and leave. People think the country is going to be easy, but the opposition is very, very real. And that's why we're begging with you. We're pleading that you'd get a prayer card and pray for us. Outside of God's people praying, we are in desperate trouble. I'm not saying that just because I'm a missionary. I'm saying that is reality. I don't have time to deal with things that have happened. And God's blessings, but also the opposition that takes place. We need your prayers very much. We're going to show a video at this time, and then we'll have preaching for a few minutes. About the greatest need in the world. Some say it's psychology, some anthropology, or maybe sociology. Some have even said we need more politicians. But the truth is, the greatest need in the world is Jesus Christ.
Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel. God has called each of us to be word specialists. He said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the reason we're to specialize in the word is because he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're to be word carriers. The greatest need in the world is for men to carry the word.
Hello, we're the Hoffmeister family. We're sitting on a Capital City Baptist Church in Austin, Texas, through Word for the World Baptist Ministries. We've ministered in Trinidad and Tobago from 2001 until present.
Trinidad is a small country located 7 miles off the coast of Venezuela. We're 40% Indian from the country of India, 35% African from the continent of Africa. We're a potpourri of cultures and ethnicities and religions. We are 35% Hindu, 12% Muslim, and just an entire cosmopolitan of culture and religion placed together. There's a lot of opportunities of evangelism in Trinidad and Tobago on a weekly basis. We're here on the streets, passing out tracts, preaching every single week. We're here in the city of San Fernando, an area of approximately 350,000 people. In 2001, we started Charity Baptist Church. For 7 years, we were outdoors. And then we found a place to rent. 2008, we had the honor of starting Victory Baptist Church in the village of Daybay. And then it's been exciting to see them continue to grow. 2017, took a group of people from the church and had a part in starting Cornerstone Baptist Church in Princetown, an area of approximately 100,000 people. We realize the youth are the backbone of the next generation. We want to spend our life investing in the future, whether it's evangelism on the streets or ministries in the hospital, whether it's religious instruction classes. Between our ministries, we're speaking on a weekly basis in 21 different secondary schools. In some of those schools, we have 3 to 5 classes a week. The opportunity of speaking to thousands of kids every week is awesome. And it's amazing. There's thousands of gospel tracts to go out, whether it's on the streets or in the hospitals, or door-to-door, or in religious instruction classes. Every single week, people are getting saved because God's promised His Word would not return void. Never have we seen a greater need in the lives of young people than today. We have the opportunity of doing weekly youth programs, vacation Bible schools, summer camps for juniors, summer camps for teens as well. It's a blessing to see God change lives, bring revival. Many of these kids get saved, jump right into our youth programs, into the church, the youth leadership programs, and then even into Bible college. In 2018, we've had 10 of our young people graduate from Bible college. Evangelism and church planting have always been the thrust of our ministry here at Charity Baptist Church. In the time we've been here, we've given away over 1.1 million pieces of literature between tracts and John and Romans and other gospel literature. It's been a blessing to see the Word of God go out as God's promised it would not return void. On a weekly basis, we have the privilege to see people get saved because of God's Word. The evangelism that takes place in the hospitals every week, on the streets, between street preaching and mass evangelism, in the public schools, where people get the gospel preached to them every week, in the nursing homes and door to door, it's just exciting to see God's work getting done. As a missionary, it's our obsession with getting the gospel out, watching God save people, helping get baptized and then disciple them in Christian growth. And the challenge is how to take them to the next level, whether it's discipleship or Bible college, but doing God's will for their life is what it's all about. The Caribbean is full of people that are ready to go the next level, whether it be in a Christian growth program, youth development program, Bible college modulars, or even Bible college classes themselves. You pray that God would call laborers in this great opportunity of harvest. We want to thank you from the bottom of our heart for the difference you've made in the country of Trinidad and Tobago. Many have prayed, some have given, some have made available tracts, John and Romans, Bibles. But the difference is people who are willing to give themselves. The greatest need in the world is people willing to give their life. It takes a life to make a difference. God's looking for difference makers.
Amen. take your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Habakkuk, chapter number 3. Habakkuk, chapter number 3. And I want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you, Liberty Baptist Church. We're able to do what we do there because you're committed and faithful here. And I'm looking around and seeing so many faces, so many good memories from 20 years ago. We've been there for 20 years now. And I remember the days where people's hair wasn't gray, people's ties were straight, if you know what I'm talking about, and what time does. It's a respecter of no man. Thank you for your faithfulness. I really do appreciate the many good years we've had serving the Lord. I want to just preach for a few minutes. I know what time it is. Right now it's 7:58. I'm watching the clock, all right? That means a couple of things. Number one, it means that you don't have to watch the clock. I have that covered. Number two, I promise you I'll be finished. It's 7:58. I promise you I'll be finished by, I'll be finished as soon as I'm through. So don't study that at all right? So just take your Bibles, Habakkuk. Can you stand to your feet? All right. If you're tired, go ahead and take a sleep while I preach. That doesn't bother me at all. Just nap all you want. The only thing I ask is you don't snore, because then you wake up someone else, and that would be rude. Can you hear me? What? Tasting. I can't hear myself. When I can't hear myself, I get lonely.
You might have to raise your lapel up a little bit.
All right. So I'll raise this up a little bit. He's pointing at me. Thank you. Thank you for pointing me out. I appreciate that. Habakkuk chapter 3. We found it. Look what the Bible has to say. Most people have found it. Brother Roy, you find it? Okay, good. Okay. Look what it says in verse number 18. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image, and a teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it's laid over with gold and silver, and there's no breath at all in the midst of it. Father, we come to you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the name which is above every name. We understand that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are God. As you said in 1 John chapter 5, you're the one true God. We can rejoice in the fact that you're just not our God, but you're also our Father. And the finished work of Jesus Christ has placed us in your family. We're grateful for that. Now, Father, I pray that we'd walk on the doors different than the way we came in. Might your name be magnified and lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Notice verse number 18. It says, what profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image, and a teacher of lies, the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols. Let me remind you for just a moment tonight that as we sit here in San Antonio, Texas, the majority of the world is worshiping dumb idols. I mean, if you stop and begin to do the math, you realize that there's about 1.4 billion people that worship the moon god. That's dumb. You can look at India, there's about 1.2 billion people that are classified as Hindu, and they're pantheists by nature. Pan means many. Theist is God, and they believe in many gods. They say God is all and all is God. Inside of that, you have Buddhists and Taoists and Jainists, and the list goes on and on. Cults all over Asia. Almost 2 billion calling on their individual. Their individual God. They'll worship anything from Shiva and Ram and Lakshmi all the way down to a carrot and a potato. That's dumb. Hanuman, their monkey god, got lost in the woods and was sent to get an herb. They couldn't find the herb, so he brought back the mountain, so they worship him as a god. What kind of god gets lost? That is dumb. Ram and his wife, Ram went out to fight the other gods, and while he was fighting the other gods, are you with the dumb story I'm telling you right now? This is what they give their life for. And as he was fighting the other gods, his wife had to take a bath. So she needed someone to protect her house as she makes a child, and he's guarding the house. Ram comes home, someone's guarding his house, and he says, let me in, and the child won't know. Now, the father doesn't know he's a god. He doesn't know his child. The child doesn't know the father. So the father, Ram, cuts off his own child's head. His wife comes out from taking a shower, and she says, you killed me child. He said, I'm sorry, I'll fix that. The next animal that comes by, we'll cut off his head and put it on our child. And he cuts off an elephant head and put it on his child. That is a dumb god. Because if you could put an elephant's head on your child, why did you put your child's head back on your child? Does anybody ask these questions? Think about 800 million to a billion people worship the Virgin Mary. That's a dumb idol. My country's a garden of strange gods. It's what we call the Caribbean, a callaloo. It's a mix-up, a potpourri of all kinds of religions, and it's all accepted. But the Bible says there is one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. The Bible says there's thousands of ways to go to hell, but there's only one way to go to heaven. And Jesus said, I am the... The country is just a garden of strange gods. America's become a garden of strange gods. I was just in Oklahoma City. One of the fastest growing religions up there is Wiccan, the worship of the devil. I mean, you can't find a Christian today. They're all called spiritual. I'm not really Christian. I'm a spiritual person, though. You know what that means? Worship the devil. That's what that means. There's only one true God. But you know, I'll tell you what I've noticed. Our churches have also become gardens of strange gods. Now, we brought up here a statue of the Virgin, or Ram, or Lakshmi, or Hanuman. People aren't going to bow down and worship that. But do you realize anything that comes between you and God has become a god in your life? So, I know we don't have much time, so we're not going to study the time. So let me ask you a question. Well, let's do this. Let's just take a quick test for a few minutes tonight to see who your God is. Are you with me? We'll take five test questions. Test question number one. Take your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter number 6. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you in advance. I'm going to plagiarize a message from Jesus Christ, if that's okay with you. You don't mind if I steal his message. Okay? Matthew chapter 6. He's preaching here. And he says, we got a problem. Brother Roy, is there any water around here? I feel like I'm dehydrated right now. Look at Matthew chapter 6. You found it? If you found it, say amen. All right. Here's what he says. Jesus is speaking in verse number 19. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth. And here's the reason why. Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. Now, he's not saying don't have stuff down here. He's not saying that. What he's saying is whatever you have down here, you'll lose. Now, according to recent research, that's not a good investment. He says, let me give you a good investment. Put your treasure where you'll never lose it. And he says, let me tell you, when you invest in heaven, he said that rust won't corrupt it. He says moth won't ruin it. And no one's going to steal it. He says, however, but if you invest down here, he says, here's what's going to happen. He says, the moth will mash it up, rust will corrupt it, and thieves will break in and steal it, or they'll get elected. Either way. So here's what he's trying to say here. He says, you want to find out where your treasure goes. It's always exposed by where your heart is. Because whoever you are is always going to come out. That's just the way it is. You know, Jesus was preaching the chapter before, and he said this statement, by your fruits ye shall. So you are what you fruit. Isn't it funny when you fruit the world, but you try and convince people you're a Christian? Now, sometimes I shake. And when I shake, it's not good. I'm just telling you, I'm going to confess. So when I shake, anybody here shake? Oh, goodness, I spilled some water on the floor. I hope not. No. Now, let me ask you a question because you look intelligent. Was I wrong? So, why did that water come out of there?
Because you were shaking your hand.
Because I was shaking there. Why did that water come out of there, sir? Oh, because I was shaking. Why did that water come out of there?
Because you're shaking.
Well, sir, Mr. Taylor, why did that water come out of there?
The water's inside the bottle.
That's my point. See, what's ever on the inside is going to come out.
Yeah.
And when Jesus is preaching here, here's what he says. Wherever your heart is, your treasure is going to follow it.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you want to find out who someone's God is, find out what they're devoted to. And that will tell you where their heart is. You want to find out what someone's devoted to? You find out where they spend their time. You will find people today, they know everything about a vehicle. I mean, I grew up in Alaska. Alaska's a unique culture. It's where men are men and women are too. It's Ford country. Everybody drives big trucks. Matter of fact, on a quiet night, you can hear the Chevys rust. The new Chevys, they put hand warmers in tailgates, so when they break down and you're pushed them down the road, they keep your hand warm at night. I'm just saying, that's how it is. I know people, they know everything about a truck. You can blindfold them, pop the hood, they'll tear the engine apart, put it back together. But you say, find Habakkuk?
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Huh? What? Habahuwa? You see? Who your God is where you're going to spend time. The average teenager spends 12 to 13 hours in front of a screen every single day. People, they know everything about a computer, how many megs it has, and RAM, and sheep, and goats. They know everything about what's behind that screen. But you say, can you tell us, when was the last time you read through the Bible? You hear chirping of crickets. You know, working with young people, you know, they say birds of a feather flock together. By their friends, you'll know who they are. Your friends will carry you, but they never bring you back. That's the truth about friends. You want to find out where your heart is? Find out who your friends are. You will be like your five closest friends. Because we are attracted to a mindset and a mentality, and we hang around people who think like us because we love our comfort zone. The problem is, who we are always comes out. You want to find out who your God is? Find out where your heart is.
Yeah, right.
You want to find out where your heart is? Find out. Is it okay if I say it? Find out where your money is.
Right.
I'll just be honest. I hope you don't get angry. If you get angry, I hope you get counseling. You watch an independent Baptist church, and I'm 100% independent Baptist. But you watch an offering take place, I will just be honest with you. It looks like they just came from the chiropractor head to the dentist. The preacher gets up and says, let's go ahead and worship the Lord in our giving. People are like, can I not today? I mean, the opportunity to love the Lord their God. Give because they love God, not because they have to. The opportunity to give. I mean, listen, you look in the most sensitive nerve in the human body goes from your heart to your wallet. The ushers come forward and you watch people, they reach for their wallet, they throw their back out. They pull out George. I love you, man. No, it's a separation disorder. It never happens at Walmart, our local Chinese store. Every part of the world has a Chinese store. Americans' Chinese store is Walmart. I don't shop at Walmart. You say, why? Because the largest employer in the world is Walmart in China. It used to be American made. How many of you guys remember the days when Walmart was American made? Now it's Chinese made. And I feel like I just killed the service. Can I get back to the... I hate communists. Except when I give them the gospel. Anyway, here's what happens. They put George in the offering plate. That never happens at a garage sale. They're smiling when they're giving. You watch the average, I'm just the average chance to give. People look like they're in pain. The problem has nothing to do with the money, the economy, their income. It has to do with their God. Look at it. You don't believe me. Look at the next verse. Here's all I'm trying to say. Now, I'm stealing this from Jesus, okay?
Amen.
Don't get so angry with me. Look at the next verse. He says, for where your what? Treasure is, there will your heart be also. Listen, let me confess a sin. I love to preach on giving. For three reasons. Number one, I love to give. I would say the majority of my income is given away. I made a commitment many years ago. Before I became a missionary, I was supporting 20 missionaries, my wife and I. And then I gave her a promotion, and now she supports more. Now, you understand, that was 20 years ago. Since then, it's gone up and up and up. I love to give. The second reason I love to preach on giving is because other people who love to give love to hear it. The third reason I love to preach on giving is that I love to watch stingy, mingy people squirm. I made a commitment 25 years ago. I said, I'm not going to give more to a house or a car payment that I'm giving to the cause of Christ around the world. Not going to happen. Why? Because I want God to have my heart. And wherever your money goes, your heart's going to follow. I've preached in over 60 countries in the last 5 years. Because I'm obsessed with this world. I want to have a burden that's more important to me than anything else in this world. I'm not looking for a burden for a city, a town, a country. The Bible says the field is the world. I want a burden for the whole place like Jesus did. He goes on, I'm not going to read it all, but you're already there. Matthew chapter 6, he says in verse 25, he's talking about the heart. What it's on the inside is going to come out. In verse number 24, verse 22 and verse 23. Verse number 24, here's Jesus preaching some more. So I'm going to steal it from him. He says, no man can serve. He makes a statement. Then he tries to explain it. He says, if you try and serve God and man, you'll either love one and hate the other, or you'll hold to one and despise the other. But he says it's an impossibility to serve God in. Excuse me. I saw you last week, right? Can you come here? Are you busy? I didn't mean to wake you up. Come on up here really quickly. What's your name? Samuel, thank you for volunteering. Samuel, how old are you?
18.
Are you single?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Stay that way. All right. So I need you to do me a favor. Now, I don't want you to hit your head, but I want you to jump up as high as you can. Can you do that for me? That's not bad. Give him a big finger clap. Good job, Samuel. One more time. Just see if you can do a little better than that. Man's got skills. Now, I need you, one more time. I want you to just jump up there one more time, okay? Now, listen closely. Jump up as high as you can this time, okay? Now, you're going to jump up as high as you can and just stay up there, okay? Yeah, just jump up there and stay up there. Who's your parents? Now, did he teach you how to jump or how to stay?
Stay.
Okay, we'll work on this program. Here's what I'm trying to say. He's a jumping machine. I can't jump that way. I used to be able to jump that way. Things have changed. My mind says jump. My body doesn't respond.
Yeah.
And he jumped up, but he didn't stay up there. What really is his problem? The law of what?
Gravity.
It doesn't matter. Hang on. It doesn't matter how hard those are. Them are pipes, boy. It doesn't matter how broad his shoulder is. It doesn't matter how handsome he is, and that's not a problem. It doesn't matter how intelligent he is. He's not going to be an exception to the law of
gravity.
It doesn't matter how much education he has. It doesn't matter if he calls himself a scientist. He's not going to be an exception to the law of
gravity.
Because it's a law. Thank you very much. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care if you've been to church for 20 years. I don't care if you read the Bible inside and out and upside and down in the Greek and Hebrew and the Aramaic for a hobby. I don't care how much Bible you know. Here's what Jesus said. No man can serve two masters. Now, we're here. The doors are closed. Nobody's watching. Can I ask you a personal question? We'll keep it a secret on live stream. How many of you, at some time in your life, have tried to serve God and man? Would you raise your hand? At some time you tried to serve God. Just raise your hand if you're honest. If you're not honest, just smile. Okay. Sometime you've tried to serve God and man. Thank you for your honesty. Now let me ask you another question, because we're doing good here. How many tonight... you succeeded in serving God and man. This whole church is full of losers. Can I ask you one more question? Why do we keep on trying? You want to find out who your God is? Find out what you're devoted to.
Yeah, that's right.
You ever watch a crackhead? He's got to have his crack. Yeah. A cocaine addict? He wants his coke. A workaholic wants his work. Just as bad to be a workaholic as it is a crackhead. Your God is work. I was an ambitious person. I remember I had my first job when I was 5 years old. I had a paper route. Then I got a promotion at 6, and I was like that little homeless child in the streets, walking around selling newspapers. I'd walk around and say, extra, paper, Sentinel. I'd buy newspapers for 17 cents and sell them for 25 cents. When I was 6, 7, 8 years old, that was my business. My business. By the time I was 12, I started my first job at 8 in the morning. My last job, which is 3 jobs a day, finished at 12 o'clock at night. I cleaned up a restaurant. Here's what I'm trying to say. I was ambitious. When I was in Bible college, I started a business to pay my bills. After I graduated, I got married, started another business. When I became a missionary to Trinidad and Tobago, I was making almost $100 an hour, booked 3 months in advance in my business. Here's what I'm trying to say. It's not worth it in replacement for God. Praise the Lord for His blessings that are financial. But I'm here to tell you, God made us a channel. Yeah. A conduit. Yeah. My heart must stay with Him. Yeah. And where my treasure is, my heart will follow. And Jesus was trying to teach him a very specific lesson. He says, who do you think I is? He says, I take care of the birds. I take care of the blue bonnets for Texans. I take care of the lilies. He says, why are you thinking like a lost person? Well, the word he used, I believe, is in verse number 31. For after these things do the Gentiles seek. He said, what? You need a checkup from the neck up. And change your thinking. He says, you're thinking like a Gentile. You're letting your thoughts be Pharaoh filtered. You're thinking like Egypt, which is part of the world. And Pharaoh's a picture of Satan. He says, hang on, you came out. Don't think like the place you came out of. And he says there, he says, why are you thinking like the Gentiles? Notice verse number 33. He says, but seek ye first. See, either you put them first or you get cursed. God's not after 10%. He's after 100%. If you've been saved any length of time and you're still on 10%, you're still getting rocked to bed spiritually at night, get fed milk. Hey, 10% is the starting point. Jews gave 35%. Book of Acts, they gave 100%. Hang on, breathe in. Breathe out. Just if you smile, it will improve your face value. Hey, my goal is to give $1 million to missions. We don't have much time left. I want to see how little I can function on and how much I can give away. I want God to be number one. It's so easy to get turned aside by things that have no value. You want to find out who your God is? Find out who you're devoted to. And Jesus simply said, he said right there, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He says, you do two things, sir. You seek my kingdom, seek my righteousness, I will assume responsibility over you. I'll take care of the needs of your life. That's a good God. Why would I worship a God that got lost? Why would I worship a God that can fire me? I believe every Christian is to start their own business. Watch, God bless you. Shall we go to another test question? Time is flying. Go to Psalms chapter 37. Isn't it good to be in church?
Yes.
I'm just telling you, I love church. Yes. I don't just say that. I'm there. I'm in church nearly every single night.
Amen.
I don't know what it's like. If I get backslidden, I'll backslide into church. Actually, my wife told me, if you ever get backslidden, you're going to politics. And she said, I'm done. Don't go that way. Look at Psalms 37. Look what he says. Verse number one. Fret not. Now, I know you've done the research. Fretting is what we call in American English worry.
Yeah.
British English is called fretting. And he says fret not. Now, some people think that worry is a ministry. It's a sin. Okay, here's what he says. Fret not thyself because of unfair elections. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Isn't that incredible? David knew that a long time ago. He says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. He's trying to say God's still in charge. I want to hang my hat on God's hook.
Amen.
You know, I just... We had elections 2 months ago in Trinidad, and one of the members of parliament came to church, and we were sitting in my office before service, and I said, here, we tell everybody who to vote for.
Amen.
He says, for real? And then in the middle of service, now, understand the political parties there. One is Indian and one is African-based. They're tribal in their behavior. In America, we call it racism. There's about 20 times more racism there than even exists here. Americans, it's one of probably the greatest senses of humor that international people have when they look at America. They have moved what's called the goalpost of definition in racism. They talk about anthropology, and they've redefined human behavior to make everybody a racist. And it's tribal behavior. And they use their ethnic group or the tribal behavior to ride upon to get elected. And in service, as he was there, I said, I want you to know, I already told him that I tell you who we vote for. And I got special messages. I've preached for both political parties. And I told him to vote for Jesus Christ. Because men of high degree, the Bible says, are vanity. And our hope is not found in men of low degree. That's why he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And here in chapter 37, he says, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. He says in verse number 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. You know what we need? We need a revival in God's people saying, hang on, not just am I going to be devoted to God, I'm going to delight in God. This is the most important thing in the whole world, is Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, I am obsessed with Jesus Christ. I'm just telling you here tonight, I get excited about Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter where you are, I want to delight in God. I'm not talking about a double cheeseburger, I'm talking about God. I hear people all the time, well, I just don't really get excited. I come to church, yeah, but don't judge me by the way I look. Just the way I am. My grandpa, he didn't get excited about nothing. Daddy didn't get excited about nothing. Just who I am. Well, hey, change.
Yeah.
Amen. Daddy was born dumb. Grandpa was born dumb. I'm just dumb. Do you realize 3% of people after the age of 21 do any personal growth and change? You know what Christian growth is? We change to become more like Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Someone says, I don't get excited. You choose what you want to be excited about.
Yeah.
I went to a University of Texas football game. Goodness gracious, I've never seen people so crazy in my life. Jumping up and down the bleachers. We had some guys on the pew next, or the row next to the pew. They had the row next to us. They had taken their shirts off and painted their chest burnt orange. Yelling, screaming the whole time. It looked like a shag carpet from the 70s. I'm just telling you. And they were all excited. I had a friend. He drove all the way to Dallas. And he watched the Dallas Cowboys. He told me, he said, this is the most incredible experience of my life. I said, tell me about it. He says, well, we got the tickets on sale. They were only $400. He says, we were on the 50-yard line. He said, we got there 4 hours early. I said, how far was it? He says, about 3.5 hours. I said, wow. So you got there 4 hours early? He goes, yeah. And he said, we were on the 50-yard line. He said, we cooked up some barbecue because we're Texans. And he said, it was unbelievable. He said, we were so close, you could hear the bodies hitting each other. He said, man, I can't wait to go back. I said, well, hang on. Let me get this right because I'm trying to digest this cultural information. First of all, you paid $400 for a ticket. Yeah. And you drove 3 hours. Yeah. And you got there 4 hours early. Yeah. And you got down on the front where the action was. Yeah. And then you came to church. And you got here 30 minutes early to get seated in the back row.
I don't get excited about nothing.
Oh, yeah? I'm just telling you, my favorite part is right here on the front row. My favorite part of the message is the invitation where someone's going to say yes to God. I'm going to obey the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, this is what it's all about. I like to see people come down the aisle and get saved. I'm just telling you, that's what it's all about. I'm watching them come to Jesus Christ. I like to watch them close their eyes, open up their eyes. They've just gotten saved. They look like a new person in Christ. Their sins are gone.
Yeah, amen.
That's not a touchdown. That's eternity.
Yeah.
Why in the world does the devil have to have a monopoly on enthusiasm?
Yeah. Amen.
Go ahead, Pastor. Give me your best one. See if you can bless me. You couldn't find a blessing with a search warrant. No matter what pastor's out there. Here's what I'm trying to say. I want to choose to love God. I mean, Saturday comes. I get my family ready. We go to bed ready. We get up ready. I'm sitting on the edge of my seat ready. I can't wait for you to say something I love to hear. And I want to say amen on purpose. I want to see people get the gospel on purpose. Why? Because, listen, this is the most important thing in the whole world.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Right.
Well, I don't feel like it. On purpose, yeah. Serve God. On purpose, love God.
Amen.
Here's what I'm trying to say. You want to find out who your God is? Find out what you're devoted to.
Yeah.
Find out what you delight in. You'll find out who your God is. Father, we come to you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. I don't know people here tonight, but Holy Spirit of God, you do. Father, I pray at this moment in time, reach down inside of our heart, right where we are. Remind us once again of a truth we already know. God wants to be first. God wants our enthusiasm. He wants our passion. Father, I pray that you bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name. Tonight, if God spoke to your heart, don't wait on someone else. You find yourself on your chair. You find yourself at the altar. Say, God, Lord, start with me. You just draw a circle, jump inside and say, God, would you let the revival happen right here? God, would you help me to humble myself? God, would you help me to put you first place in my life? God, would you help me to be passionate? God, would you help me to have zeal? God, would you help me to go forward for the cause of Christ? God, I want you to be first. It's Wednesday night. You worked hard. It's because we do this on purpose. We love you. Preacher.
Let's stand. We already have many at the altar. If you need to use the altar tonight, we're just going to let the piano play. Play a verse or two. If you need to come, the altar's open. If you're not sure you're saved, come to Brother Castile. We'll take the Word of God and show you how to get saved tonight. If you need someone to pray with you, come to Brother Castile. We'll have someone pray with you tonight. If you need to use the altar, it's open for you. Again, God knew you'd be here tonight. I didn't know Brother Hoffmeister was going to be here, but again, God did. And he knew Brother Hoffmeister was going to tell you what he told you tonight. By the way, he knew you needed it just like I did. He wants you to do something with it. It doesn't do you any good to hear it and not act upon it. God spoke to your heart. Now is the time to come to the altar and take care of it. You don't often find a missionary that supports missionaries. He's not the only one that does that, Brother Wynn. Some of you know who Brother Wynn is. Brother Wynn is also a big supporter of missionaries. It's always amazed me. Some missionaries feel like, you know, I'm a missionary, so it ends with me. I appreciate a missionary who loves missionaries. If you need to come tonight, we won't drag this out, but we want you to make a decision. If you leave without making the decision, you'll go back and you'll leave the way you came in, meaning well, but not doing something about it. Ushers, you can come on down while the folks are finishing up. We'll get ready to take the offering. You can look up here. You got enough ushers for the prayer? All right. Again, I didn't realize Brother Hoffmeister was going to be when I saw him. I was here earlier taking care of some other stuff. When I saw Brother Hoffmeister, he brought back some old memories. I resent the fact that he's got older and he still doesn't have gray hair. I think he must color it.
Yes,
something. And I resent the fact that he's not fat, okay? But it's probably because he's a little crazy, so he just, I mean, fat can't catch up with him. He just moves too fast, so... But again, we want to be a blessing, Brother Hoffmeister. He's one of our missionaries. We've supported him for a long time. And again, I didn't realize it was 20 years. Man, time flies by. When Brother Hoffmeister was youth director up in Capital City, sometimes he'd bring his kids down here and do stuff with our teens. Sometimes we'd take our kids up there. There's not very many churches we fellowship with, but they were one of them. And again, he was a big blessing back then, a little younger than me. So I always appreciate the fact he's always had such a sweet spirit and a will and attitude. And then when God led him to the mission field and took him over there, that's been a blessing too. Sam's going to come pray for the offering. After Sam prays for the offering, we're going to take the offering. Everything you give tonight will go to Brother Hoffmeister. We want to give him a good offering, so have a part in that.